Well, hello again, everyone. This is Beau Bonner, Formation Coordinator here at Blessed Sacrament. I'm here with Tina Bennett, who's the Professor of Linguistics at Wichita State University, has done that for over 37 years, and she's also been a parishioner here associated with Blessed Sacrament since the late 90s, and so it's an honor to get to talk with her. I had class with her at Wichita State, and you know, she told me how bad my grammar truly was, but we also had some interesting conversations, so I knew that this would be a perfect match to ask her to come talk about us in the setting. So, Tina, thank you for coming and talking to us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So one of the things that we want to talk about first is linguistics. I think people hear that term but might not be exactly familiar about what all it entails. And so if you can maybe brush us up on some of the details we need to know about that, but also kind of give us an insight about how this will help us see the Gospel of Mark in a new angle, in a new way.
Okay. Well, so here's where, I like to connect the idea of the study of linguistics and then a Gospel like Mark. Because linguist itself is one of those words that can be understood in more ways than one. So if you tell people you're a linguist, they'll always say, "Well, how many languages do you speak?" Linguist doesn't necessarily mean that you're a polyglot, mm-hmm. although that's one of the meanings of it. But a linguist is someone who is like a biologist, except we are looking at language rather than at, you know, biota, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So, and linguists have to look at language two ways. As I was noting, there's an I language and E language. So you have a language capacity, your I language or your internal language, which is the same capacity that all human beings have by virtue of being human. Mm-hmm. And you can't look at it. You can't hear it. You have to figure out how it works by looking at the E languages, the individual languages that groups of people speak, that they call by whatever whatever their language calls them, Dari or Farsi or English or German, whatever, Deutsch. So all languages have a structure that can be quite complex, but it's knowable if you observe the language, if you figure out the words of the language and what they refer to, and then the way that you can string them together, grammar, basically, mm-hmm. then eventually you can figure out how a language works.
Right.
And if you figure out how enough languages work, e-languages, it starts to give us a glimpse of what i-language must be.
Mm.
So in some ways, I language is almost mystical, and the E languages are like sacramental in so far as they're visible,
right?
Or you can hear them at least if you can't see them.
An exterior sign of an interior,
yeah,
not grace but something else, yeah.
Right? So I think the Gospel of Mark is really pertinent to that whole conception of language as, yes, we have sounds and we make words out of these sounds, and these words are associated with meanings, but they're often associated with lots of different types of meanings. I wasn't sure where I was going with that, but
yeah. Well, I know that, in seminary, for instance, I think, people bring up the Gospel of John, that would be what comes to mind if we're going to be talking about words, because in the beginning was the Word, and John is often heralded for its very elaborate Greek and things like this. So I was actually very intrigued that one of the first things you told me that you thought Mark would be an ideal gospel for linguists. So I don't know if you want to expand on that anymore as well.
It's an ideal one for linguists because Jesus is sort of doing with his disciples, doing for God what linguists do to their students for language, if you will.
Punishing them, right?
No, well, you know, we're trying to get them to look beneath the surface, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the metaphor is that you're looking above.
Right.
So the whole idea of meta language, for instance, is that you're, which is what linguistics is really all about. It's about meta linguistics. So we're trying to explain that whatever language you speak, that's very limiting.
Right.
Language in general is infinite. Just as God is infinite, I happen to think, you know, language is God's gift to us to make us a little bit closer to Him. So just as God is infinite, the disciples often get fixated on the finite, you know, the particular word that they hear somebody saying, and Jesus is always calling them to, you know, either to go beneath the surface or go, you know, go meta.
Well, one interesting way to think about this is how often the Gospel of Mark talks about people not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, you know, people will get this and, you know, like, what, are the disciples dumb? Are they not paying attention? And, you know, why is Jesus so confusing? And, you know, we'll do this, we'll act like, well, we know the story so well, we sort of understand it. But you're right, we look at Jesus correcting all these people, and he's not correcting them like he's, you know, keeping linguistic terms. It's not like he's a grammar Nazi, right? Like,
right.
Don't use the Oxford comma or whatever. He's actually trying to show that they're the ones getting caught up, like you said, in a limiting box about a lot of these things that have so much higher calling. So, you know, people have talked about this before. Jesus, when he looks at the law, he's not, you know, he's not saying to get rid of the law as if he's making everything more lax. He's actually calling about this higher, deeper function of what God calls. And I think that's akin to what you're getting at, is Jesus is always calling us to not take the easy way with these words we're hearing from God.
Yes, and when he says things like, you know, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear, you know, that sounds at first, like, what are you talking about? Look, I have these two ears,
right.
And I heard what you said. But he's always saying, he's used the word hear a lot. He uses the word hearken a lot. He talks about voices and lips, which are the sort of concrete ways that we talk. And he's trying to get them to, you know, get beyond that. Just as the rules that the Pharisees might have, and all of the hundreds of little rules that are in Leviticus, and
right,
that,
right,
and you know,
no, that's in a great way to think about when Jesus is talking about, you know, the you know, sometimes we're talking about Mark, and I quote out of Mark. So if you don't find this in Mark, forgive me, but this is making the same point.
Yeah, it happens.
Is that we're asked, I'm almost sure it is, though. We're asked what the two, they ask Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? And he, you know, he gives the line.
The summary, yeah.
Right, love of God and love of neighbor. And there's a way in which you, like, that sounds like he's just saying, like, oh, all the rest of these 613 are poppycock and don't matter. But of course, that's not what he's saying at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's talking about meta language. He's talking about behind all of these 613.
Is love.
These are incarnations. Even when God called you to do something like don't eat shrimp, what was behind them was this meta language, the language of God himself.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think really Mark, and just the very name Mark, if I were
right.
A post-structuralist, I would say, this word means notice.
Right. Mark, what's going on? Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Notice this, you know. So Jesus is always calling them to notice what they're not noticing. It reminds me of teaching classes, and where we're using as a text Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal, where Swift is proposing, you know, we'll just eat the babies of the poor, and this will solve a lot of problems. And,
right.
And I always have students that go, you know, they can't. Well, I'm sure the disciples reacted the same way when Jesus said, you know, eat my body, right? Some of them just went, can't take that anymore. We can't, that's disgusting, right? So, you know, Jesus is like the teacher saying, no. This isn't really about eating babies.
Right. Anybody who doesn't know, this is Jonathan Swift. It's people were fighting about what to do with the Irish poor in England. And he very sarcastically writes an entire letter completely. I mean, he writes it, but he would be giving it straight face that says, well, let's just use the babies for food. And he's, of course, using this severe irony as a criticism to say, that's essentially what you're doing. But I've done this, I've taught this before too. And you get at least one student that's like, how could he say this? This is terrible.
Yeah, they don't. So, you know, in Mark, there's Jesus having to deal with those students who don't get it, you know, that they heard what he said, or they heard what the Pharisees said, or they heard something, but they just can't get to the next level of what it's really about.
This is making me appreciate Jesus even more, that as someone who teaches, like, oh right, Jesus had even worse students than I did. That's wonderful.
Yes, and he got to pick his.
And he got to pick
his. We just get who we get, but he actually handpicked his, so.
And they still didn't get it. That's wonderful.